Well, thank you. It's a great pleasure for me to be here today. And thank you for the introduction. I wasn't expecting you to be able to read the whole bio. As I was introduced, I'm from Aging Health Services, and we also manage the California Healthy Nail Salon Collaborative. And I'm going to be sharing a story about how we began implementing a local policy to impact nail salon worker health and safety. So I have no relationships to disclose. And really quickly today, what I'm going to do is talk to you about what the California Healthy Nail Salon Collaborative is. What is the problem, and how we started a campaign in San Francisco, and then what evolved out of that in terms of city policy, and what are some next steps. And I'm just curious, how many of you have actually ever been to a nail salon or passed by or been in a nail salon? Okay, so quite a few people. We started in 2005. And we came together specifically around the nail salon issue of worker safety and health. And we now have 33 members, and they are reproductive justice, environmental health, public health organizations, as well as advocates, some academic institutions, and nail salon community members themselves. And we are very diverse in our expertise, and so we employ a lot of different strategies from policy to research to outreach and education approaches. And Aging Health Services is the fiscal sponsor, and I put this slide up because Aging Health Services outreach workers were some of the first folks who started to begin noticing the health issues that nail salon workers faced when they were visiting them, just, you know, talking about the importance of health insurance, talking about chronic disease, and many of our patients at the clinic are actually nail salon workers as well. So this is just a slide to go over what are the guiding principles of the collaborative, and just to kind of quickly highlight, we want to be very clear that we are targeting the manufacturers to make safer products, not the small businesses, and that we look to really developing the leadership of the workers and the owners who are affected by the health issues and to advocate for their own needs. So really the issue is that nail beauty and personal care products can contain toxic chemicals known to be carcinogenic and reproductively harmful. And usually the question is, why is that? Well, cosmetic manufacturers are actually not adequately regulated. The Federal Drug Administration does not require pre-market safety assessments of products, cosmetic products, before they go out. And Europe has actually taken a lot of action on banning some of these dangerous chemicals, but unfortunately, the United States has not. And so we're really concerned because nail salon workers often are exposed to a multitude of chemicals. They are working 6 to 7 days a week, 8 to 10 hours a day in the salon, and really, a lot of times they don't pay attention to their health symptoms, and many are experiencing chronic illnesses. They have a lot of ergonomic problems just because when they're doing pedicures, you're leaning over, and then when you are working with people's hands, there's a lot of carpal tunnel. And a lot of times in the shop, there's a lot of insufficient ventilation. And so this slide is just describing some of the health concerns that we have because the workers are working with these chemicals in the products. And long-term concerns are around cancer, around adverse reproductive outcomes. We don't have documentation or research around this, and that's a research gap that we recognize. But there is a lot of documentation around acute symptoms and illnesses, from chronic asthma to dermatitis, the rashes, nose and throat irritations, and chronic pains. And just a bit background on the nail salon worker population, about 40% in the nation are Asian, and 59 to 80% are Vietnamese in California. And the significance of that is that a majority are immigrant workers. They are limited English speaking. We also are concerned about homeland exposures from their home country due to chemical warfare. And they are also low socioeconomic status, generally earning about under $18,000 a year. And the turnover of the shops is very high, and so it's a very unstable business. This is just a table of some of the chemicals, just a snapshot of what type of products contain what chemicals. And I wanted to kind of point out, like, formaldehyde, that's in a lot of the nail polish and hardeners, and that is a known carcinogen. Dibutyl phthalate, that is also a reproductive, can cause reproductive harm. And things like toluene, which is also found in polish and can cause reproductive adverse effects. So the collaborative, you know, we do a lot of outreach and education to try and educate nail salon workers and owners about the issue. And we have a policy committee that has thought about, well, what can we do to help move this forward in terms of better protections? So we hear from the workers, you know, I'm really concerned about the chemicals. I don't know what I'm working with. I have no idea which is bad, what's good. And, you know, community organizations in our collaborative had said, well, you know, let's look at taking a comprehensive approach. Why not just ban some of these bad chemicals? And then we have a policymaker in San Francisco who started saying, you know, I'm really interested in this nail salon worker health and safety issue. So collaborative members, Environment California, Asian Law Caucus, and Asian Health Services, we came together and said, well, let's start doing a campaign around thinking about maybe a ban on the three really toxic chemicals, formaldehyde, dibutyl phthalate, and toluene. And the reason why we chose sort of these chemicals, one, we know that they have a lot of chronic effects long term. And we also know that there are actually toxic trio alternatives available. What I mean by toxic trio are actually these three chemicals. So it should say actually toxic trio free alternatives. So we brought this back to our workers. We have worker advisory groups. And we asked, well, what do you think? What do you think about a ban on the chemicals in these products? And they said, well, you know, we support that, but actually we have no, we can't make those decisions. It's the store owner. And then we had owners saying, well, you know, it sounds good, but, you know, I'm really concerned about the price of these alternatives. I mean, do they function well enough? Maybe it'll can put me out of business. Customers may not want them. And then we had the policymaker saying, well, you know, well, we're a little bit concerned because what about the FDA? Are they going to preempt us if we pass a local policy? And then we had Department of Public Health saying, well, you pass a ban, how are we going to effectively enforce this ordinance? Because we have a lot of city budget cuts and we don't have staff. So we kind of went back to the table and we said, well, you know, we were thinking about this sort of stick approach. Well, what about a carrot approach? And this actually came up through our worker advisory groups who said, yeah, let's think about what about if you started giving us incentives, like recognizing those salons that did want to use some of these safer alternatives that are out there. And so we kind of did an assessment in the community and started talking about this. And actually, we got over 100 worker and owners in San Francisco who said, yes, this sounds like a great idea. A lot of folks in San Francisco signed support of this. And then when we started talking to the Department of Environment, they said, well, you know, we really kind of set the trend for green business models. And so, you know, it sounds good, but actually we need a little bit more information before moving forward. So what we did is, we wanted to do surveys with nail salons to figure out what kind of products are they using. Are they using some of these toxic trio alternatives? What do they have in terms of some of these other products? And we also, when we did that assessment, developed some educational materials. This is a picture of a table tent sort of describing, hey, this is what you can show your customers. These are some examples of toxic trio alternatives in terms of polish and tops and base coats that you can start putting out and customers can ask you about it. And then we developed a list of toxic trio-free polishes and top and base coats. We dealt little wallet cards that stores could give out to their customers. And then when we did the surveys, we did them in with 67 salons in all the districts in San Francisco. And out of the 67 salons visited, we saw that there was a need because actually only two salons used no toxic trio polishes or top and base coats. And so we knew that this was definitely an issue that Department of Environment would be very supportive of. And so what we did is, we helped shape this ordinance, and the idea is recognizing salons by, you know, if they don't use toxic trio polishes or top and base coats, that they could get recognition through a city website and also get a sticker. So we wanted to create a lot of awareness around this, and we held a toxic trio free polish party. We held it at an International School of Cosmetology in San Francisco, and this is the person speaking is the supervisor in San Francisco who introduced the bill, and we got a lot of great media coverage. That's a picture of one of the nail salon workers who has breast cancer, and really got a lot of coverage about, you know, introducing this ordinance. And we had a public comment hearing where we had nail salon workers and owners come out and say, we're really in support of this, and these are folks who are testifying. And for a lot of these people, it was the first time that they'd ever been to City Hall, that they've actually ever, you know, seen a legislator in person, so it was really exciting. I know I've got about 1 minute, so just to kind of really quickly wrap up, this is just a photo. So this, actually, this recognition program ordinance unanimously passed through the Board of Supervisors. And that was just 2 weeks ago, actually. And so there's still a lot of work to move forward on, but we're really excited, and we really recognize that these are just very first steps to a much bigger picture of what we know needs to happen in terms of, you know, defining what is a healthy and green salon, and just, again, a first step towards sort of building awareness about safer alternatives. So I just want to recognize these folks who really played a key role in moving a lot of this work forward. And this is my contact information and our website up here, and I'd be happy to answer any questions after the session.